I've been waiting for you guys. Thanks so much for listening. It's ESA Logic Radio and your host, Patricia Cleveland. It's rather a miserable day. It's cold and gray. So I thought I'd take the time to start a fire. I've set a couple of chairs around a fireplace and some blankets. I've also made some lemongrass tea with honey. I just hope you sit yourself down. Take a breath. Wrap yourself up if you're cold. And enjoy. Today is an adventure like every other day. Never know what's going to happen. What people will say. How things will manifest. Now, I live on a farm. And I have lived on farms most of my life. So, I'm not really integrated into a lot of noise and technology and pushing and shoving and stress. But the things that I do deal with are sometimes kind of hard. Sometimes it's a choice between life and death. And to see something pass, to watch it leave its physical body, makes you just wonder what goes on, the process. I've watched animals in herds, and it's kind of like waves of life rushing in and out, like water hitting a beach. A baby is born, and the mother takes it off away from the herd. Yeah, they stay together, and that bond is made between the mother and her child. And it's food-based and sound-based. And smell and touch and those energetic and sensory things that create that bond will hold that pair together, even though when the baby is ready, the mother will move it closer and integrate it into other baby friends. And the mothers will talk and share and watch the young ones play. And every once in a while, the mothers will walk off and leave one babysitter to look after everyone. That poor one mother babysitter has to make sure that everybody's had a nap time and everybody's asleep so that she's not running here and there trying to control, let's see, maybe 40 pairs of feet. It's a lot of responsibility. And as these babies grow up and their mothers decide it's time to let them go, they do. It's a hard process. The mother will say, "No, I am no longer your source of food. You need to take all the skills I've given you and go out and find something good to eat." And the little one will bump and nudge, and the mother will gently turn her back and walk away. And the little one will stand there and cry, "Mom, Mom, what are you doing? Where are you going?" And the mother will turn and look and say, "It's okay. You can do this now. I have confidence in you. I've given you the tools. I've given you love. And you're aware of all the information, all the little hints and clues that the world will give us." And in this moment, that young animal will realize, "Hey, guess what? I'm pretty cool. Yeah, I can run around the field and bounce. Look, everybody's watching me. And I'm big enough that I don't have to really tell my mom everything I'm doing." And they will go off and they'll play, and the young ones will come together as a group. Perhaps a new herd, a new community, the next generation of thought. And as these young animals grow, their parents age. And as the age sets in, the herd merges, and they become one unit, and they think together. And they work together, and they problem solve together. And partners will support each other and try to point out where the best grass is to eat. And their offspring will come and visit, and sometimes at night you'll see groups of horses, or groups of cows, or groups of goats, and they fold up and they lay down, and they will be in families. And often the young ones who still love their parents will come and rest against the side and lay their head across the back, like a hug without hands. And the union that's created, that bond, is invisible, but always there. They will tell each other when there's a dog in the field that shouldn't be there. Or they will talk and say, "Hey, guess what? I just saw a coyote on the ridge of the hill." Something needs to be done. And they will come together and form a group. And whether it's a cow or a horse or a goat, they become a really amazing defensive force. I have watched dogs come across our field, and within seconds, 18 horses will create a semicircle, kind of like the muskox you'll see in some of the National Geographic shows. And they will create this semicircle with the young ones behind, and they will almost completely encircle that dog. And if the dog is not smart, the horses will come, one or maybe two, and their heads will stretch out like snakes. Oh, it's just the scariest thing to see, because you see their ears melt way down into their heads, and their necks arch out and wiggle along close to the ground, and their mouths are chomping and biting, and sometimes their jaws are wide open, and their feet, oh, their feet come flashing forward and striking the ground in front of their nose. And the dog is standing there going, "What? What did I just walk into? Oh, my gosh. Oh, they aren't fooling around. They're going to kill me. I think I need to run." And in that moment, the exchange of "you better go" and "going" has been made. And the dog will run off and find someone else to watch and play with. And the horses, well, they're feeling quite empowered because they have done their job of protecting the generation that they're going to send forward. The new generation, the ones that just stood behind and watched to see how it's all done. Yes, and that's how nature works in the herd. And sometimes animals get old, and it's tough to watch. Whether it's their joints don't work, and it's hard for them to keep up, or they've had an injury, and it's just too much for them to bear. And sometimes animals get sick. And in that moment of recognizing that they are not functioning and getting as much energy from the environment, they start to separate and move away from the herd. Just as if a mother was going to give birth to a child. Okay, the animal shifts and he separates and he finds a silent, quiet place. And his life partner, his friends, will come and ask him, "Hey, what are you doing down there on the ground?" And they'll stand up and they'll look at their friends and say, "Okay, well, this is it. I just can't do what I used to be able to do. And it's time that my body is starting to slow down." It's winter. It's the time for energy to be released. And if I go now, my energy will be recycled. It'll become a new soul. I can be reborn in the spring, if you let me go now. And the herd will touch him and caress him in their special way. And in that moment, they realize there's nothing that they can do. This is the reality of life. And they turn and they walk on and they pay attention to the ones that will carry on their stories in the future. and they let the silent one, the old one, find a place of peace. And in that moment, he will lay down, he will stretch out. And he may feel the pain of his cells and his bodies as they strive and thrive and cry for more energy because of the departure of his soul from his alien spacesuit is something that is very, very unusual for them. And as the transition occurs, the mind starts to cry as it realizes that the consciousness that it once was has got to leave and pull down into the heart. And in the heart, it will be there for a few minutes. And the silence and the light and the crystals and the water and the sound of the wind will pull him out. His essence will climb. And it will spiral up into the air, and every particle and every memory that animal has ever shared will rain through the breath and into the lungs of the herd that have stood back and watched the transition of this life. And as the body becomes still, the animals recognize the shift has occurred. And the life partner of the one who has just passed will come and stand like the honor guard. And in a few minutes, each member of the herd will separately, one at a time, gently touch the ground with their feet as they tippy-toe, gently, head stretched out close to the ground. And they will come forward and touch the body, smell the body, and stand over the heart of the animal that just passed. It's like a heart-to-heart connection. It's like they're using their senses to really feel where the energy of their friend just went. And like going to a funeral home, this procession continues. One herd member at a time will come and stand in honor of the friend that has just passed. And it will be what it is. And after each member has said his farewell, they turn and they will walk away. And it will take maybe an hour. Or maybe a day, and the life partner will be there with the empty shell of their friend. And finally, the urge, the recognition that that energy is no longer there, that it has moved into the particles of everything that's in the world, in the trees, in the grass, in the air. And the life partner will move forward, holding the memory, the energy of his friend. And that will take him forward, and he's welcomed back into the herd as they move away from the empty shell. And that tidal wave of grief is not allowed. There is no time to feel sorry because there is no loss. Their friend is still there. And they know that in the spring, once again, the essence and the energy will be recycled. And it might not come through as one animal, but it might come through as two or three. And so the experience of one expands, and the knowledge and the herd's whole lifetime experience through generation after generation becomes greater and stronger. And more knowledgeable about the ways. Because you see, the ways of living have changed. The animals used to run free without having any experience of man. And then he met man. And his knowledge had to change. Because you see, man doesn't process the energy, the information from the environment, the same as the animals. And it's rather like speaking a foreign language when you meet a two-legged. Yes. They don't understand. Two-leggeds. They're deaf to the world. And so the animals have to change, and their knowledge, that knowledge is held in the memories of their cells. And as each animal passes away, his knowledge is shared with the next generation to come. And that helps the animal to move into the domestic life, to maybe make it easier for the two-legged ones to learn about how to live, what life is all about. And again, new knowledge, adaptations occur. And this adaptation is no longer on an energy level. It comes into the body and it alters the shape and form. The colors. Sometimes colors change in the coats of the animals when they are kept in the world of man. Ears change. Shapes of noses. Oh my gosh. The animals are not the same. And this knowledge is passed as the next animal dies. And they come forward into the new animal that is living in the age of the car, and the age of the computer, and the age of the cell phone. And as each generation moves forward with man, they are losing their ability to hear, to know, and to be in contact with the energy, the source, the place that we all come and go from. You see, the field of man, the energy around us, oscillates and vibrates in such a chaotic way that it sometimes detaches, deafens, sensory blindness to the animals that live with us. And that's kind of a tough thing to understand, that in the breath that you take, you radiate knowledge. And the breath that you take in gives you knowledge. And as your animal breathes in and out, he's sharing your experience. Those particles of water that come from your lungs, the vibrational field that's generated from your heart and your thoughts, are all imprinted in everything that you push or breathe or stir or think. And once upon a time, the thoughts were really clear. There wasn't cell phones or electromagnetic fields. It was just basically the pulse of the earth. The surges, the electrical charges, and the magnetic fields that shadow every movement that she makes. That was the line of communication. That was where the information came from. And the earth was the translator of the energy in the language of the sun. And now our animals live inside. I meet horses who have never been outside of a barn, except for maybe to come out and prance and dance and do a performance for man. And dogs live in apartments. And cats, well, some of them just look out windows and wonder, wow, I really wonder what's outside. Do you ever wonder? Take a break here. I'll be back.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
I'm back. Yeah, I just had to go and put some more wood on the fire and top up your tea and keep it warm. Yes, just think of all the energy that we have going on around us. You see, we really don't think about it very much, But when you work with animals, you become really aware of energy. Because we know now through science that energy is pretty amazing in shaping our lives, shaping our bodies, our thoughts, our reflections of energy. Yes, I don't know really where consciousness comes from, but it does come. And it's kind of like somebody drops ideas in your head. Or is it all the fungus and little things that, you know, make up your body? Do they just all get together and have like a great big meeting and say, okay, today she's going to have a good day and everything's going to be bright and she's going to be brilliant and artistic and everything is going to be in harmony? Where does it all come from? Where do all the thoughts? And why is it that some animals arrive with instincts? They know how to get up on their 4 feet. They know how to find their mother. They know how to nurse. They know when it's time to go to the washroom. They know to keep their place where they live clean. How do they know all those things? It has to come from somewhere. Maybe it's from the cellular memory, that particle of water that comes in the cell, that holds the memory and the knowledge. Maybe that's where it comes from. Or maybe it's the whisper and the tickle of the air, the particles that come from maybe the sun, maybe the center of the galaxy. And it all comes into the body and makes this great big symphony, this overwhelming surge of accents and staccatos and vibratos, stillness, thunder, all of that comes in, sensory input, except our senses aren't all that great, but we manage to survive. And sometimes I think the animals are there to reflect a message to us, to give us clues and hints. Much like the animals that are coming into people's awareness, the service dogs, the ones that can tell you if you have a heart condition, the ones that know when you're going to have a problem with your diabetes, the animals that can sense people with cancer, the animals that know where to find people who are in disaster scenes. All of this knowledge is there, and they reflect it towards us and say, hey, can you feel me? I know you want to be loved. I know you're there. I know you want to have a heart-to-heart love, but there's more to it than that. You need to open up your heart. You need to open up as much as you can and let the world of energy, the harmony of the universe, the symphony of sounds that Mother Earth and all the creatures and organisms that she supports. Let all of this huge library of information enter into you and help make you complete. There's answers that man has never even been able to think about. There's systems of life that move far beyond our conscious thought. Animals in their energetic state have the ability to project forward. Because you see, their energy flow is kind of horizontal. I mean, really, they project out through their forehead. And they're able to see forward, just like X-ray vision. And they also have the ability to, I guess the best example would be to throw their energy, like a dolphin or a bat, sonar, pulses. I can tell you a story about a horse I once met. It was in North Carolina. And we had gone up to visit a farm that bred quarter horses. And my husband and I were there. And these people said, maybe you could help us with this big red horse. He's a stallion, and he's so unpredictable and wild, but we can't get our hands on him. We've got him in this round pen, and the round pen is about 80 feet, so it's pretty big. And it's got a mound of weeds and places for the horse to hide so he doesn't have to see people eye to eye. And we wanted to catch this horse because they had put a halter on him. And he had grown up a bit, and his halter had become too tight. We needed to get the halter off this horse so it wouldn't cut into his skin and cause infections and make his life miserable. So my husband pops in there because in his own right, he works a lot of energy. He's an amazing earth spirit. And he went in and he spent 20 minutes standing in the space of the horse, moving around, and the horse is flashing and dashing around saying, I'm not sure if I can stand in your energy field. And then finally, there was a change. And this big red stallion walks up to my husband. Now I'm standing on the outside of the fence, holding space, trying to keep fear out of the way. And the big red horse comes up to my husband. And the most amazing thing I've ever seen is a horse that wouldn't allow anybody to touch him. Even if you came out and put food out for him, he would wait for you to disappear. And if he needed medical help, they had to get a cowboy to come with a rope and lasso him and hold him. And even then it was a fight. And standing there in the middle of this big area, a man and a horse connected in such a way that I have never seen before. The big red horse gently stepped forward, and instead of standing beside my husband, he moved and stood directly in front of him, which normally is a physical challenge. And I stood still, and my husband stood still, and the horse stepped into my husband's energy field, and he lowered his head, and he stepped in closer, and his forehead touched my husband's heart chakra. And it stood there, and he leaned into my husband, and he felt my husband's heart. And that horse stayed there in a state of peace. And then he moved around, his feet shuffled, and his neck curled and made a C shape. And my husband stood still. And the horse then proceeded to walk a circle. And it was the most unusual circle I've ever seen. This horse, who would not be touched by man, continued to touch my husband's body as he walked a circle around and around. And my husband stood still as the horse's forehead ran a circle around the whole circumference, the radiant field of my husband's heart chakra. And after that moment of connection was made, my husband reached up and removed the halter from the horse. And then a new halter, a larger halter, was put into place. And the owners of this horse invited me to go in because there was a problem in this horse's shoulder where at one time somebody had been rather rough and it hurt him. And they had asked me to come and please see if I could help. So I gently climb over the boards and lower myself down. And I move into this horse's field. Now, red horses, like red people, red-headed people, and red-haired dogs, are very sensitive to different energy fields. I think it's the amount of copper that makes the red hair, that you're so sensitive. You perceive things and you become reactive very easily. And it's okay. That's the way you're supposed to be. It's kind of like you guys are the early warning system of what is and what isn't right. And as I walked into this field of a big red horse standing without a without a lead shank, just a halter on, beside my husband, I put out the picture of what I wanted to try and do. And I gently reached out to see if I could touch this animal on his shoulder. And I didn't realize how sensitive this horse was. And I don't know what happened. I cannot explain it other than it hit me like a wave of, if you've opened up an oven door and had a wave of heat hit you, and it kind of makes you move back, like this radiant surge, powerful, powerful push. And this push was so strong that it literally had me outside of the round pen. I don't know whether I subconsciously climbed out of the round pen or whether I was just put there. I do not remember climbing the fence. But I do remember the surge, this impulse of, no, get out of my space. I don't want to deal with this. It's too painful. I know you are a healer, but I cannot go there. Do not touch me. Get out of my space. And I open my eyes and tears are coming down and I feel this horse's radiant emotion. And I'm standing on the other side of the fence in total wonderment of what just happened. And it was that day that I actually recognized that animals channel energy through the forehead, under their spine, and through the tips of their tails. They have the ability to channel energy impulses from the environment and use them to amplify and send out emotional signals, silent voices of distress or worry. For this horse to push me, an experienced horsewoman, a person that works with animals every day of her life, to push me out of a round pen and force me to stand and bear witness to this animal's pain and allow my emotional circuits to clear the energy of his concerns was one of the most profound and amazing events in my energetic experiences with animals. And so when you understand that what we do with our energy is much different than what animals do with theirs, then you start to look and watch and see how they interact. There's a silence of exchanges that goes on. And, you know, sometimes people get it. You know how you can be in a group of people and figure out who you want to talk to and who you wish to avoid. And it's not a conscious thing. It's kind of like you're attracted to talk to somebody or you're pushed away. Well, maybe that's the same type of energy input. Maybe the cells of your body try to work the same level as the cells of the animal's body. It's just that our energy circuits are shining at the center of the universe and back to the earth. And the animals radiate their energy from sunrise to sunset. And they create this dome, this bubble of energy. And we create a dome and a bubble of energy, but they're different shapes. The human energy field tends to be egg-shaped. And the animal's energy field tends to be a dome. It domes down to the earth around their ankles and their feet. And ours is oblong and tall. So we are different. But our life process is the same. Because at some point, we have to pass on. And when we do, we hope and pray that the legacy of who we are is heard and carried on by the next generation, our grandchildren, our friends. It's that moment where you're not sure exactly where you're going to end up, but you will end up somewhere. And part of you will be something else, or will influence something else. And as that transition goes, your energy will morph and change and shift and turn into light and breath and little cells of knowledge to continue on in the higher universal consciousness. And when spring comes, the last ones to hang on will pass, and new life will come in the sounds of a baby being born, whether it's a human or a horse or a goat. That sound will resonate and touch the hearts of all, because we know that there's a new moment, a new level of development. Doors may open, gateways may fall down, and the presence, the universal presence, the unity, the understanding that everything that we are is just coming together in different shapes. Oh, it's time to go put another log on the fire. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me.
How are you doing? It's been a long day. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just thought I would finish the story about the red horse. Yeah. You see, he lived up in South Carolina. And our farm is way down in Alabama. Yeah. Even though I'm Canadian, I ended up in Alabama. Sweet home Alabama. Yep. Okay. So, the people called about this big red horse. Said, would you please come on up and get him? And I was like, oh, please, not another horse. People tend to give us horses. I don't think I've ever really paid for a horse. People just seem to give them to us. So, yes. My husband said, yes, let's go get this horse. Because the cord, that connection, that trust, that bond was made. And even though it was a long distance, that horse definitely was singing to my husband's heart. And so we climb in the truck and drive all the way over. Took us to basically a day. And my husband walks out to the round pen. The owner is totally disgusted because he can't do the same thing that a man from Alabama could do. You see, the owner was kind of one of those, got to get it done, push, 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 me, 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 ego, ego, control. And those are the things that kind of push animals really, really away. They shut down. They kind of mirror the attitude of, okay, I'm going to play dumb now. I'm going to just do what I need to do to keep you happy. But that's really not the truth of the animal. That's just what they do. It's kind of like a self-defense mechanism. Yes. They shut down, kind of like put on a plastic face. just like people do. You know, you put on your suit and tie and you go to work, or you put your heels and your makeup on and some jewelry. Yeah, that'll do it. And you go out and say, hey, look at me. But it's not really you. Well, that's what the animals do when they encounter people that go push and shove and stress. And they shut down and they hide their energetic self. They hide their soul. Yes, actually, they'll be happy and jump up and down and say, hi, I love you. I could give you a hug. I love you. But unless you're still in your heart. And the intent is not about you, but it's about being honest. Whether it's a hurtful honest or a good honest, being honest. And animals are really good at picking out honest people. And they're really good at picking out people that are afraid. And so when you don't have fear, and you can look at the ugliness that honesty brings into your life sometimes, and you work with it, and you say, okay, and what is it that I need to learn from that? And accept it, and strengthen it, and use it to charge who you are and elevate the honesty of what you energetically present, what you're energetically going to pass on, then the animal will say, oh, yes, somebody I can honestly be honest with. I don't have to hide. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to play stupid games. Yes, well, that was the difference between the man in South Carolina and the man from Dothan, Alabama. One could stand still and allow the horse to see his heart, and the other just wanted results, and he failed because he was afraid of actually seeing who he is and doing the work that's required. Because, you see, to be honest, sometimes you have to really be honest. And that requires some hard personal thought. Sometimes causes you to cry. Sometimes it makes you angry. Sometimes it brings you grief. But being honest, that's what it's about. Because when there's no more lies or manipulations, the truth is really clear. And when you become really clear, you start to hear or take on information almost spontaneously. Maybe that's why some people become energetically sensitive or psychic. Maybe it's because they've at some point looked at themselves and said, hey, I just made a big life mistake and I need to take responsibility for what just occurred. So the big red horse becomes my husband's best friend. And now we have a wild horse who's never been tied, and he has to stand in a trailer for almost a day. And we have a nice trailer. We put him inside, and we decided just to let him be, because animals will figure out what the best thing is to do. And the most interesting thing of the whole trip is, this big red horse stood in the horse trailer and rode all the way home, facing backwards. I don't know whether he was waving goodbye to his friends or whether it was just the most comfortable way to go, but he stood backwards, not tied in the trailer, and he came all the way home. And he came to our field, and he was a stallion, and he was so kind and gentle. And you could touch him, and he would be your friend. But his reactions are as sensitive as a deer. His responses are so fast that he is not a horse that anyone will ever ride. There is no way a human interaction can keep up with the conductive value, the speed at which this animal processes information. And so, my husband named this horse Tingu. And Tingu is one of the Japanese wood gods. And the Tingu teaches you humility. And I think this big red horse taught two or three people the lesson of humility. I learned the lesson of humility because I didn't ask to walk into this animal space. I threw my pictures at him. I threw the intent at him. I wanted to help him. But I didn't ask if he was ready to receive it. And it frightened him. And he, without touching me, demonstrated the power of energetic thought. And he taught my husband humility. My husband stood in the presence of a horse who chose to pick him. Simple him. Out of all the people that worked with that stallion, just one simple person gained the heart of a horse. And that is a huge gift to be given. And it humbled my husband. And his ego has melted and left. His pride? Well, it shows every once in a while. But it's different. It's not because, hey, I'm better than everybody else. It's, hey, look what we just accomplished. Isn't that cool? And it taught humility to the man over there in South Carolina who thought if he put a rope on a horse and made the traditional fight of man and beast, that man would win, right? And he didn't win. And he was shown that by changing the way you think and operate, and your awareness of not just the physical form, but, hey, animals are living beings in furry suits. And they really have personalities and interactions, emotions, feelings, just like you and I. And if you minimize that, then you minimize the experience. And you reduce the relationship to man and a living thing. And sometimes it's not even that. It's just man. And look what he's got. So this big red horse played an important role in bringing together the awareness of energy and the importance of being true to yourself and being true to the energetic information that has been shared between man and horse from one generation to the next, from running in the fields to standing in the barns, the knowledge that's passed on through generational knowledge, the hardwire to know when to be afraid, when to run, and when to open up and say, hey, this person here, this person vibrates at a level that, is etched in my cellular memory. And my soul, my mind, my body is attracted to this person. And I can honor the truth of who this is. And maybe we have something to share. And when that happens, it's like the birth of a new relationship. It's the sharing, the joint sharing of new energy, new experiences. It's like forming a new being, a new life. Even though it's two physical living beings coming together, the shared experience pulls together new knowledge, new exposures, new resonance, a chord, the sound of life. Yes, it all happens. It happens every day, and it happens on different levels. And when you work with animals as a healer, this awareness, this composition of energetic music is just the most amazing thing. And to be aware that these animals can read us in a way that we can't understand them basically makes me feel really small. I almost always ask the presence of the animal if it's okay for me to step in and do what I do, my job. And then they allow me and they show me where it's important for me to lay my hands or to unwind birth trauma or the pain that maybe some other entity or being has inflicted on them. Yes, it's not me healing the animal or changing the animal. It's them sharing their information through their energy field. And that confidence, that knowing that we can share, is something that I think comes from a very old place. And whether I'm an old soul or a new soul, the animals understand what my purpose is. So maybe when you get up out of the chair and go home, maybe you can try it yourself. If you have to sit down and cry and tell your animal your stories of the day, sit there and wait and see what they say. See what they do. Do they look at you in awe and wonderment and say, "Hey, it's okay. It'll be fine. Just leave it alone." Honor yourself. Love yourself. Pull that pain into your heart. Because you see, that's where it regenerates. It flows and it moves. And it sparks new life and new thought in everything that you're about to do. Take a breath. Hold a thought. Send out some love to somebody who might need it today. Be at peace. Yeah. No stress. And if there is stress, wherever it's coming from, take and make a rainbow arch of energy into your heart and let it filter in. And as each beat of your heart pulses with the knowledge of every cell, of every memory, of every generation that preceded who you are, let that stress strengthen you, empower you, and charge you, and allow you to become a creative force to know, to see, to sense the right path, the thing for you to do. Have no fear. Everything is good. If you like what I have said, or you want to reach me, you can get in touch with me at bhpcleveland@gmail.com. I hope you've enjoyed this adventure. It's just always a trip. You never know what's going to fall out of my heart and make words to touch yours. This is Issa Logic Radio, and we'll be here next time. Don't be a stranger. Always stay in tune. And keep thinking about the memories of that big red horse and how he was able to influence by throwing his emotion out into the world of man. Maybe your animals, maybe your friends are doing the same thing. Pay attention. Until next time, remember, Issa Logic Radio, IssaLogicRadio.com, and Patricia Cleveland at bhpcleveland@gmail.com. Bye for now.